Blog Talk Radio.
What? You didn't know Christmas went hip-hop? Check the clock and let the jingle bells rock.
Let the jingle bells rock. Welcome to Headliners Ball. This show's format gives both authors and audience alike a chance to entertain a deeper discussion regarding a choice selection of poems from the author's catalog of work. Headliners will perform pieces in their intended style. In turn, they will receive encouraging feedback from an all-inclusive panel of late-night poet callers. Additionally, there will be a chance for listeners to inquire about intended meaning, inspiration, nuance, poetic device, and any other interesting details that the author is willing to expand upon. I am your host, Jeremy F., and as always, I am joined by my lovely, talented co-host, Pam Ray, and we're actually lucky to have Pam with us tonight because recently she led an expedition to the North Pole. Now, you might think, ha, that ain't no big feat. After everything Pam has been known for, our trip to the North Pole, that ain't nothing. Well, let me tell you, folks, Pam Ray did it in style. She wore Bermuda shorts the whole way. Pammy, how are you?
Cold. But other than that, doing great. I am so looking forward to tonight's show. Happy holidays to you and everyone else out there.
I second that. Happy holidays, everyone. Can you go ahead and introduce a couple headliners we might have on the line?
We do. And not only do we have our two headliners, but we also have Afaziana joining us tonight. So welcome, Afaziana, and to our headliners, Sandy G and Barta Gales, welcome. Glad you could all be here.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you guys. Now, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this. We're going to break the show into two halves. We're going to start with Sandy G's poems, and Barta, then we're going to go over to yours, okay? So,
yes.
Sandy, I know that you have an enclave of folks listening on board, so I'm going to post your first poem, and let's dive right in. Ice is on the board and ready for you when you're ready to read it.
All righty, thank you. Ice. A sailing ship lifts, pauses, plunges. Spray whips along an empty deck. Above the bulging mainsail floats a pale blue translucent bubble, spreading lambent light through the barkey, draping silver chains of ice across her bows. Breaks a crescent from the sea. A brighter glow strikes the main tops. Liquid silver slides down shrouds and stays, spreads across dampened decking, paints chalk white curls on breaking waves, brightens edges of sailcloth clouds. Seamen chant a salty shanty, bare footsteps beat an old tattoo. Men haul ropes against wind and rudder, tacking ship to starboard to gain an open view. Shrouds tense, sails moan and shudder. She gathers traction, close hold on her new course. She aims to pass through the frozen ice and sail for home in roaring waters. Gusts betray her, cross currents belay her, tossing her against the great frosted blocks, taking water aft, steerage torn away, rudder lost to crevasse, hidden in the ice. End of poem.
Great read, my friend. I think I posted the wrong poem up on the board, but I enjoyed what you presented to us. So, Pam, can you go ahead and start us off with comments, please?
Absolutely. Yeah, I was a little confused there, but it was wonderfully read. You have a great reading voice. What I really like about your poetry in general, because obviously I've read your poetry before, and I was going through all of your rights that were on the board and going through them, is you have a wonderful way of having attention to detail and imagery. You really have a gift for imagery. I thought this was beautifully written, and I would like to know, how is it, Sandy, that you got started writing poetry?
Well, when I was a young boy, my mom wrote a little bit of poetry, and she used to recite her poems. And that perked my interest, and that lasted through my early life. I became a great fan of Robert Frost. And when I got older and retired from working, I decided that I would start writing. And I came across all poetry and 3 years ago, and I've been writing ever since. So it's been a wonderful trip for me.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. And Robert Frost, great choice of a classic poet. So very cool.
Absolutely. Barta, would you like to comment on the poem?
I agree. The imagery is exquisite. And I enjoyed the pictures I could envision in my mind. while it was being read, it was read very well, clearly and enjoyably.
Very well said. Very well said.
Thank
Faisy,
you.
What do you have to add?
Well, you know, imagery seems to have become my, I don't want to say forte, but it's become my favorite type of writing, and I enjoy trying to paint pictures with my words
mm-hmm.
and paint thoughts with my words, and the ultimate result has been an act for imagery. And I've drawn on, of course, as we all do, my life experiences around sailing and around the Western genre, and of course dealing with human philosophies, which we all deal with day to day.
Certainly do.
Very cool. Faisy, what do you have to add?
I thought it was beautiful. I was a little bit thrown off because it was a different one than on the board, so I spent a minute
mm-hmm.
trying to be like, am I imagining things? This is not matching. Which I found a little bit distracting, so I missed the very beginning. But what I heard had beautiful imagery and great word choices, and I'm looking forward to hearing more.
Thank you very much.
Wonderful compliment, Faisy. And, of course, I take all responsibility for any confusion that ever happens on this show. I am always the one to blame, so apologies all around. I really enjoyed this one too, Sandy. I mean, this is a very cool poem. And what I like about all the comments, just like what Barta said very succinctly, was the imagery. And it was funny because something that was so vivid in your description, as you were reading it, I thought that this had some kind of some deeper meaning, and you were doing a lot of metaphoric description. Am I off base on that assumption?
Well, the only thing I can say is that, you know, I was very interested in Patrick O'Brien novels when I was 14, 15, 16 years old, and read all of his, and that started my interest in the sea. I also had an uncle that was a sailor all his life off the coast of New Jersey, and of course relating to him and to the poet, to the writings of Patrick O'Brien, I gravitated to the sea in my poetry, and I really enjoy writing about ships, especially the sailing age, and the ocean, of course.
Well, I definitely have an appreciation for literal poetry, poetry that has everything on its face value, and everyone can sail right along with your words, so I think you definitely accomplished that in the first poem. Very well done, my friend. Let's go ahead and dive into your next one. I have The Wonder of Winter up on the board, ready when you are.
Yes. The Wonder of Winter. There is snow in my backyard, fallen deftly through the night, with freezing sleet and small regard, dressing all in icy white. Winds whistled winter dreams, pale mists rode on frosty breeze. Wet snow slid from stiffened trees, branches frozen, cracked and wheezed. Now stillness reigns, frosty air. Silence calls for puissant memories of waxing sleighs and snowball fights and skating thrills on moonlit nights. Hear the snowflakes landing like a thousand angel footsteps, falling fresh from heaven, parachuting diamond crystals, perching on the deck rails, building hats upon the caps, nesting in the lounge chairs, piling high in chalky drifts, each flake a tiny prism, like frost upon the pane, a sky of infant rainbows, to whisper a refrain. Notation sent in silence, dance my eyes to rest, filling hours with tranquility, a meditation blessed. End poem.
Great read. Barta, can you start us off, please?
I agree. It's a great read. I enjoyed it. I was looking forward to seeing how you would see a winter scene, and the imagery was lovely, very entertaining. I especially like the pictures painted of angels, 1,000 angels for the snow.
Wonderful compliment, Barda. I like that. Paisy,
thank
you, what do
you
have to contribute? Yeah, wonderful. Paisy.
I really liked A Sky of Infant Rainbows. And I also really liked the alliteration. So there's a few different places, but the first place where I really noticed it was Winds Whistled Winter. There's a few times where the sounds of the words really makes an impact.
That's a very cool comment, Paisy, and I agree. I mean, when you hit a poetic device and it resonates with someone like that, Sammy, I think that's an excellent comment or compliment. I really dug this one too. Do you know those moments? And I try hard. I try hard, so hard every year to get into the Christmas spirit, and it always seems to be crammed at you. But I always remember. I remember that magic time when I can finally say, I accept that it's Christmas, and I accept to be happy now. And you know what? No baloney, Sandy, you just gave it to me, buddy. I really got in the spirit of this, and I think it was because it was the description and the nostalgic feel of all of this. And maybe it's just because I finally stopped working today and maybe we'll take vacation. But you know what? This one caused me to take pause and go, you know what? It has been snowy outside. I do have all my decorations up. The kids are jacked for presents, and it's Christmas time. So this one kind of got me in the mood. And what I'm most impressed by also is you wrote this poem, as it says down and below, in August. How are you thinking so much about Christmas so definitively in August? I'm impressed. Tell me about the context and the process of this one.
Yeah, I was thinking about the silence on a very windy day, and I was trying to draw a picture of silence in my mind. And I thought of when I was a boy, standing out in a snowstorm all alone, having the snow tinkle along my shoulders and listening to it touch the ground. And from there, I just kind of fell into this poem.
I'm impressed, because that is the last thing I'm thinking about in August. So very well done. Wonderful imagination and very poignant in its description. Pam, can you contribute some to this poem, please?
Absolutely. This is beautiful. Wonderful rhyme and flow, great use of imagery and alliteration. I, too, am really impressed with the fact that you wrote this in August and wrote it from your memory, from your imagination, because in order for me to write a poem like this, I would have to be looking at snow outside. I really enjoy and appreciate this all the way through, but especially how you describe snowflakes as parachuting diamond crystals. That is just absolutely stunning. Wonderful, right, and very well done.
Thank you very much.
Great comment, Pam. Alrighty, brother man, your next one, Meadow Sweet, is up on the boards and ready when you are.
All right. Meadow Sweet. Beneath the endless western sky, shadowed by the Rawhide Mountains, below the rolling foothills, lies a verdant Texas flower. A space of pinyon pine and scrub oak, along the Rawhide River streaming, beside fields of plum and chola, amidst sweet springs, full and slowly seeping. A young vaquero's haven, an avid hunter's heaven, filled with many twisting game trails, worn smooth by mule deer, cougar, and javelina, where black-tailed rattlers bask and shine and shake their tails. Rodrigo El Segundo, in youth, would often go there, to eat alone and think of life ahead, hone his many shooting skills, killing bottles with his Henry rifle and silver coat pistolas. Riding canyon hillsides, reflected in bright scarlet, pausing to enjoy the fragrance of the sumac, flushing quail that left his one, eager to skedaddle, his shotgun cradled in the scabbard, his brand new silver saddle. Every evening he would listen to the tree frogs, light a black cigar and a candle for his mother, blow smoke rings between the oaklands, tying smoky lassos around the northern star. After dawn, prairie grasslands turn to fire. The sun ignites the sleeping brush, a fiery crimson red, glowing like winder coals that draw us from our beds. Morning skies are domed by cobalt blue, a rainbow frames swirling valley mist. Most welcome over chicory coffee with a shot of sweet mezcal. End poem.
You know you're going to get me with mezcal every time. Daisy, start us off, please.
I liked flushing quail that leapt as one eager to skedaddle because it starts off kind of like formal with the leapt as one, which they totally do. They move together as a pack. But then skedaddle's more of a casual word, and it totally describes the way they waddle away. They have such a funny little walk. My old apartment building from a couple years ago, we had tons of quail that lived, like, basically on our driveway. And they would just, like, flip out anytime the sprinklers went on. So I'm just picturing them skedaddle. He really brought that to life. And I always think of a scabbard as being where I put my sword. And not a gun, but I'm trying to think of what I guess that would be for a gun as well. And I just like the word scabbard in general. So you had me at scabbard.
No, I agree. I really was taken aback. That was my major takeaway too, Maisie. I totally agree with what you're saying. The language is very borderland. Apropos, and I picked up on skedaddle too. I love that word. I love how you put it in the poem, but you also put a lot of Spanish in here, and you didn't put it in a way that was in my face or even obvious that it was Spanish. But you probably have a good handful of Mexican feeling words in here that made it feel very, again, borderland for me. I like how you really get into both the vernacular of the area you're describing. But the specifics, yet again, I really loved how you said Henry rifle and Colt pistolas. I don't know. It was something about giving things a name, and the way that you do it makes me want to put on my spurs. I don't own spurs, but if I did, I would ride with this poem in my pocket. It was a treat, man. I mean, a very cool poem. And I want you to talk a little bit about how you come up with your muse, how you come up with the juice to what inspires you to write these very particular vernacular poems?
Well, most of it comes from remembrances from my childhood. You know, when we first came out with television, I was a young boy. We had a little 5-inch screen that you could hardly see. And I strapped a kitchen chair with a pillow for a saddle and tied some clothesline onto the back of the chair. And I rode with all those old Western movies. And the character, El Segundo, is a character that I have a series of poems on. And I wanted to include, as a courtesy to him, I wanted to include one of them in tonight's program.
Very nice, very nice. Pam, go ahead. What do you have to offer?
Well, I have to say I'm a really big fan for rights about nature, but particularly when it comes to flowers, if a person focuses on a specific flower or a specific plant, rather than just saying the flowers, you know, and the fact that you focus in on the meadowsweet, which, by the way, it made me want to then Google meadowsweet, and I learned some stuff as you were reading your poem, you know, the idea that there's a lot of medicinal value to meadowsweet, and that the young leaves are edible and often used for flavoring soup and I can't remember what else. Anyways, you know, wonderful imagery, wonderful attention to detail. I too enjoyed. I had a smile at the use of the word skedaddle, but the way you describe not only the flower itself, but all the whole environment, you know, the mention of the cougars and javelinas and the descriptions of the dawn prairie grasslands turn to fire, the sun ignites the sleeping brush, a fiery crimson red. Absolutely amazing. And I know earlier you mentioned that you enjoy the classic poet, what's his name, Frost? I'm blanking out
Robert
now.
Frost.
I hate when that happens. Yes, Robert Frost. And I'd like to know if you have any other classic poets or authors that are an inspiration to you.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing. I haven't read many that aren't. All of them bring something to the table. Of course, you'd have to include Shakespeare, number one, on any list because of the impact he's had on poetry. But Robert Frost, I like Whistler's poems. Kenneth Resroth, I like his poems. So I have more than one that I'm enamored of. But Robert Frost kind of stands out to me as the kind of guy whose language parallels mine in the way he treats situations and circumstances and views of nature. So I hope that answers your question.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you.
It does. And we can see it. I can see it shining through. I remember in sixth grade, we had to stand up and memorize a Robert Frost poem and recite it in front of the class, and I still have it memorized. So, yeah, no, I can see the way that influence has come through in your poetry, man. Very cool. Barda, what do you have to offer?
The alliteration, the use distinctly described, and I said there were three things specifically that struck me, that sparked my imagination. I like to see how real the movie I make in my head is by imagery of while I'm reading.
I really like that, and I agree. I think the fact that what Sandy does and how succinct he is, again, with his description of everything, and I like how you say that, Barda, how it's a movie in your head. Because, yeah, you can picture it. You can picture every instance, every inch of this poem because of how cool and how exacting you are with your description, Sandy. That's a wonderful comment, Barda. So, Sandy, you're not going to like this, but time always flies here on Headliners, and we're almost at halfway. I want to give you a chance to selflessly plug, inform us if you have any written or published work out there, if you have any other places we can find your work besides AP. Tell us a little bit about how we get a hold of your poetry or any other works of authorship you've put out there.
Well, early on, I wrote a book. It's called Cape to Cove, and there's a picture of a yard-looking sailboat on a rough sea. In fact, the next poem I'm going to read is the poem that prompted that cover for that book. It's available on Amazon, and some of the poems in that book have since been revised, but I think all poets do that. I think they go back and review their work and make revisions, and I think that makes the poem alive and living entity, and I think that's important to do.
Not everyone does that, buddy, but I do, and I totally agree with your comment. I think poems should live. I love the fact that you go back and still tinker with your poetry, because I can't I can't seem to leave my stuff alone, so I'm glad I'm not the only one. What is the name of the book again, one last time? Is it in an and is it under the author name Sandy G?
Yes, Sandy. Well, it's my name, my full name, Sandy Galatio.
Okay.
And it's from, it's Cape to Cove is the name of the book.
And do you have a link to it on your site here on AP so that people can, if they're interested, can go and purchase it?
Yes, they can. They go to my homepage and it's right there.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, I suggest everyone go and support Sandy. It's available on Amazon, Cape to Cove. Your next poem is up and ready when you are, my friend.
Alrighty. This is called From Cape to Cove. The ocean roils and writhes in mottled green confusion under a 4-6 breeze. Scudding clouds go racing, chasing hard in fluid grays. Beauty loses balance, portends a fearful sailing day. A lovely sloop, very yar, sailing well-heeled over, tacks her head across the wind, flying free and reaching broad, doubling round the rocky cape, threatening on her lee. Full keel to hold a steady course, gunnels curved in a saucy sheer, the beam of a lady built for speed. Skipper steadies the tiller, mindful of deadly rocks alee, eyes them through the plunging bows, back arched, stretching tall, spare hand hauling on the sheet, feet pressed hard on the slippery rail, a fitful ride, even for a fearless spirit. Sail stiffened rumless tight, rigging whistling salty shanties. The slim mass metronomes, arcs, pitches, dives, and rolls, hull and sea meet uneasy, pressing, slipping, sliding, making knots to live by. To founder here is fatal. Bow and stern lift and dive, intent to hold this point of sail. Rocks and waves roar defiance. Winds spew foam and spray. Death furls his brow in anticipation. Angst displaces cool detachment. Cape gives way to cold. Seas quell. Angry sounds retreat. The sloop slides in, sails drop, anchor bites the gravel bottom. Framed above her own reflection, beauty reclaims balance. The sun bathes her in open admiration. End poem.
It's easy. I figured it out, Sandy. I've totally figured it out after this poem. You just have lived a much more full life than I have, in which you've been able to experience all this stuff so real that you can convey it so beautifully in poetry. You're not sitting around on your couch watching reality TV like I am every night. You're actually going out there and living life. You're out on the range, you're out in the forest in the snow, and you're on a sailboat. I mean, I get it now. It's very – that's all I had to do is pull my head out, and I could be writing like this easy. No, man, this is a beautiful poem. Certainly I jest. I really love this, and I love the fact that you use so many nautical terms. And again, it's not forced. It's bringing me into the – it's bringing me into the poem, the yar, the lee, the ully, the tiller – I've sailed. I know what these all mean, but I couldn't put it together as effortlessly as you did. And, of course, I know everyone's going to say that scudding in the first was one of their favorite words because that just – that got me in the mood right from the jump. This is a beautiful poem. So talk to me a little bit more about the significance. I mean, this is the second one, the second poem you brought up, and obviously it was the title of your book. Can you talk a little bit more about what the impact of the sea has on your life and your writing?
Well, I live in New Jersey, and I'm not that far from the Jersey Shore. I have family that lived down along the coast. As I said, I had an uncle that worked in the fishing boats and in the fishing industry. And I told you that I read a lot of Patrick O'Brien's sea stories. And the sea just is magic to me. It's I'm a Pisces, so maybe I'm drawn there naturally. I don't know. But I've always been drawn to the sea since I was a child. Running, you know, from the waves with my dad and then taking my son down and having him run with me from the waves. It's always been a magic place.
I love it, man. I love the way you put that. Very cool. I'm a Pisces, too. I still can't do what you're doing here. This is beautiful.
Oh, my goodness. I am, too.
Go ahead.
Yeah, see? See, we got a whole room full.
Oh, my
full.
God,
still
we
not doing
three
it.
Pisces here. What are we going to do?
Go ahead, Pam. Jump in on this phone, please.
Absolutely. I would be happy to. Before I go do my comment, though, I would like to mention that Gray has joined us. So welcome, Gray. Glad you could join us. Yeah, this was definitely...
Hi, Pam. Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Sandy.
And hello a
there.
Wonderful poem. And great
Thank
imagery. You.
You
know, this was, one of those poems that when I read this, I thought, here is somebody who either has done their research or has, like, a knowledge of the sea and a love for the sea and for the water and the ocean. You know, and my question was going to be, what's your sign? But since you've already answered that, obviously I'm going to have to think of a new question. But I think that...
She uses it to pick up everybody at the poetry bar, Sandy. So don't you be fooled by her come on line with her,
I
what's
do.
Your
I
sign.
I ask everybody what their sign is. And,
go ahead, Barta.
No, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to steal a question from Jeremy, and I would like to know, Sandy, what does your writing process look like?
Well, I start with the idea, and then a sentence comes into my head, and that sentence I base the poem on. I write around it, either below it, above it, and it becomes the essence of the poem. And then I extrapolate from there, and my goal is always trying to accurately describe the feeling I'm trying to impart. That's what I think about when I'm writing.
I like that. I like that process
Very
a lot.
Cool.
And I love Yeah, I love the question too, Pam. Sorry for interrupting you there, Pam. No, that's a great
Oh, no like worries. That. It's sometimes hard to tell if somebody's gonna speak or not on radio. It's not like you can, see their face and, see that their mouth is about to move. So I totally get it. I've stepped on many toes over the years.
I know if I could see your face, you'd be sticking your tongue out at me right now, and rightly so. Barta, go ahead. Do you have anything you can add to the conversation, please?
I could definitely envision the extrapolation that Sandy G makes in his poetry. It started out, the poem just presently read, with very graphic, almost abusive clouds of thought, and it ended as I was traveling from that. And I ended up being landing softly at the end of the poem.
Well, thank you. That's very accurate in terms of what I was thinking. The sea was rough.
Wow.
It was a terrible circumstance. And I wanted to impart that there was life and death involved here, and it was a serious situation that turned into another beautiful sailing day. At the end of it, because if you sailed at all, when you sail in rough seas, there's the exhilaration, the fear, and the relief when it's over, and the feeling that you accomplished something, even though you may have only gone from point A to point B in the sailboat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I love that. Great comment, Barta. I always like it when people pick up on what the author intends. So great comment, great perception. I like that a lot. Daisy, you want to jump in the conversation, please?
I like that it said in mottled green confusion, because as much as people always talk about the water being blue, a lot of times it actually does have kind of a greenish hue. Like, I've been to Emerald Lake where it actually, like, seriously is, like, emerald colored. But it's not always just blue. And something about the confusion being green just makes me think about the way that all of the what's it called? The white foaminess on top is mixing things up, and it just adds some personality to it. And then I liked the anchor bites the gravel bottom. You know, it doesn't just hit the bottom, it bites it. Something about that just adds a little punch to it. I like it.
Thank you.
Great comment, Daisy. Great comment. Gray, did you have an opportunity to hear this one, or do you want to jump in on the next one?
I did hear a part of it. You know, it was a great read, but I liked the poem. It was intriguing, imagery packed, and, you know, you could feel the storm that they were in and the roughness of the water and being a metronome on the water. It's just a haunting imagery, and, you know, you could feel each and every stanza as you read through it. So, beautiful job.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Great compliment, Gray. Great compliment. You are up with your next one, my friend. New York, New York. Hit it when you're ready.
All right, New York, New York. Kind of a different feel for this poem. New York, New York. Along the soaring Jersey cliffs, amid the Hudson streams, raised upon Manhattan Rock, gaudy loud and lurid run, dark canyons built on schemes, how vast and stretched they seem. An old Sinatra tune rings out clear, from towers tall and lean, volume high and wide enough to trouble peaceful dreams. Far beyond on murky streets, snakes stalk in seamy shadows, while over walls and down the Aves flows the stench of dragon's breath from 10,000 kitchen stoves. Decency is ditched, decorum deserted, consequences rejected as deterrents, common expressions twisted, incoherent, braggarts' brags revealed as lies, the obvious becomes apparent. Highways scream, hum and rumble, arrogance denies the grief it faces. People wheel and reel and slip and stumble. The eyes of a virus defy the masking, seek to pierce through pleat or bunting. All around echo wailing sound, tolling human scores of agony. In undertones ring siren calls, luring innocence across the fords, a glut of actors to the boards. Fantasy thrives, rejecting instinct, denying aspects of extinction, ignoring the voice of intuitives, testing limbs of hopeless dreams, far out on branches and bower, beyond the gates of limitations, seeking heights of stimulation, precious pearls of hope, trailing angst and consternation, on trampled trails of contemplation. Sleepwalking through daydreams, hiding from the nightmare of mortality, bankrupt, beaten, and betrayed, running in place on treadmills of fear, through gymnasiums of illusion. Ceaseless city musicians, musicales, pulsate in ponderous disharmony, from the depths of re-echoing, arrhythmic, discordant, cacophonous, bounce along her weary walls. Disparate areas scratch in little and paws, where nothing rests and no harmony exists, and no man perceives the warning call. This is a bloated, top-heavy town, a reeling giant, losing balance, headed for a fall. End poem.
Very cool. Gray, start us off, please, my friend.
Well, that was an epic poem on, you know, city life and all the you know, disharmony it brings, and I really like your ending with the, this is a bloated, top-heavy town, a reeling giant, losing balance, headed very fall. You know, I can't imagine if things went sideways, what would happen in the big cities, you know, if, I don't know, if something like had the power grid went down or other things like that, you know, an apocalyptic type thing, how much devastation people would suffer in these big cities. And, you know, the traumas of just trying to get through the day would be very trying, you know, with the snakes and the braggarts and, you know, the underbelly of the city is just a dirty, dirty place. So very epic write on the subject of New York and all it is.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Great comment, Gray. Go ahead, Barta. What do you have to offer?
Yeah, you have to be of sturdy stuff in order to live in New York, I've always thought. And also my impressions of New York are at first of kind of glamour. But I could tell that this song was not, this poem was not going to tell of glamour, but grittiness. Beaten, bankrupt, and betrayed. That's what happens a lot when you're to the citizens there.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great comment, Bart. I love how you captured that. I think it's very well said. Pammy, are you back? Do you have a chance to catch this one?
I did, yes. And, well, I didn't catch the whole reading, but I had read it earlier. And I like this one because I felt like, you know, even though it was very directly about New York City, the whole idea of big cities in general, I tell you, the one time I went to see New York City, I went from small town Wisconsin to New York City with two toddlers, and I did not let my children out of their stroller or out of my sight. They stayed buckled in the whole time we visited. But no, I really like this all the way through, and I think it makes some great social commentary on the way we treat each other, humanity sometimes treats each other, especially when there isn't that personal connection, where you become too busy with the chaotic life and how oftentimes the more people you're surrounded by, the more lonely it feels. And so now I'd like to hear from you, Sandy, what were some of the points that you were hoping to get across with this poem? Like, what was, you know, your idea?
Well, I live near New York, so I've been in New York many, many times, especially as a young man. And I've experienced this. New York has been glamorized in movies and theater and part of our culture. New York is the great, wonderful city that Frank Sinatra sings about. But I wanted to show that there's another side to New York City, a side that may actually be dominant, that people aren't aware of or don't look at. And it's not a positive poem, obviously. And I didn't want to make it too dark, but it came out that way. It's a dark poem, but I think it accurately describes the part of New York that needs attention.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, very cool.
Well said. Go ahead, Fezzy. go ahead, Fezzy. Jump in, please.
My name just evolves every time you say it. who will I be by the end of the show? I don't know. I liked Dragon's Breath from 10,000 Kitchen Stoves. Like, you really turn the city into a beast. And that smog of all the pollution that comes out of having so many households crammed together becomes the Dragon's Breath. I really like that. Mm-hmm. Again, you have great alliteration with decency is ditched, decorum deserted. You're really good at that. And the ending, which Gray already pointed out, the personification of the city itself, a bloated, top-heavy town, a reeling giant loses balance, headed for a fall. I love that part. And to think of it as top-heavy, I mean, on the one hand, it's the skyscrapers, but also the idea that I think there's a lot of financial and social divide where it's like there's the people in their penthouses who are super rich and have everything, and then there's the people who have nothing. And there's both sides of that really strongly in places like New York, whereas in some smaller places it's more like everyone's kind of in the middle. But in those big metropolises, there's a visible difference between the economic classes.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I really dig that angle, Fazy. I like that you put that in there because I wasn't even thinking of the socioeconomic angle of it, because that's really the kind of divide that you see in big cities like that. Great point. And I want to compliment all my predecessors on the conversation. I like what Gray said about how destructive this is. I liked what Barta said. And Barta, you made the slip that I was going to speak upon. You called this a song, because a lot of this was very musical to me. I mean, I like how everyone has talked about the grittiness of the city. I mean, Pam definitely spoke upon that, but there's music in this too. I liked how the conversation went to how a city can be very lonely. I think Pam's the one that brought that up. But there's also, in the craziness, in the dejective feeling of all of it, there's a kinsmanship. And I felt this in this poem. I mean, I don't know if it was the hum and rumble that made me think of U2's Rattle and Hum for some reason. You mentioned Sinatra in the second. There is a music to the craziness, and I really like the cacophonous bounce along her weary walls. I mean, this thing, the way you use language, Sandy, and the way that you put it together, again, I know I keep repeating myself, the vernacular feel of everything that you do, it gets me in the jazz of a city. It gets me in the rhythm of the city. It gets me in the buzz, the craziness. All in all, with the feeling that at any minute it's going to all topple down because it's just too much of a beast. It's an ugly, big fanged beast that just can't seem to continue at this pace. So all of those feelings were very, very real to me in this poem. Very well composed. And yeah, man, I'm a fan. You're doing a heck of a job. I really enjoyed this. So what I want to ask before we time, yeah, absolutely. And before we time out, what I want you to talk about is, give us some advice. We're all here poets at AP, and give us your two cents on what it takes to keep on trucking.
Well, life is really about reevaluating yourself constantly and always looking within to identify who you are and to use the identification of yourself to explain to other people your thoughts as a human being, your perceptions, the pictures that you paint in your mind, share that with them if you can. And I think of it in those terms when I write. It's a sharing of who I am, and I'm grateful to be able to do it.
I really like that. I really like that. Great comment. Great answer. All right. Your next poem, Of Christmas Past, is on the boards, ready when you are.
Of Christmas Past. Windy days and frosty nights, fir trees trimmed with festive lights, pink-colored quilts upon the snow, signs of Christmas long ago. Kids on sleds go gliding by, sleigh bells ringing on the fly, manger scenes, halos aglow, sights of Christmas long ago. One bulb blew, the whole string failed. Each socket tested, a thumb impaled. Clocks spun smooth, but mighty slow, awaiting Christmas long ago. Sweet sounds of carols filled the air. Santa's snack laid out with care. Chimney smoked 10 in a row. Nights at Christmas long ago. Our house was warm, the kitchen toasty. Eyes were smiling, cheeks were rosy. A slice of apple pie, then off to bed. Stockings hung on mantles so. Stuffed for Christmas long ago. End poem.
Great Christmas poem. Pam, please start us off.
This is a wonderful Christmas poem. I really enjoy and appreciate the nostalgic feel to it. And I like that it's not just about the imagery, but about the sounds of Christmas and the foods and smells and tastes of Christmas. Sweet sounds of carols filled the air, Santa snack laid out with care, chimney smoke 10 in a row, Christmas long ago. This is just beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you so much.
Great compliment, Pam. Wonderful words. Barta, what do you have to offer?
I think that was beautifully melancholy. there was a feeling of wishfulness when people think of Christmas, how ideally they would like it to be. There was some merriment in it also, and the alliteration is what I think helps a lot with the picturing what the words mean.
I like that. I like that. Yeah, you're right, Barta. I mean, there's an apropos framework that really kind of makes it all fit. The puzzle pieces all work so well with so many of his writes tonight. Oh, I was going to tease you and call you by a different name, but Aphasiana, how would you like to comment?
Oh, wow, you said the whole thing. Okay. A rare feat. Good job, Jeremy. I really liked the part that said, one bulb blew, the whole string failed, each socket tested, a thumb impaled. That really brings me back to my childhood. We always had, like, the cheapest possible lights, and it was so annoying that one light bulb going out meant that the whole thing didn't work. Instead of just replacing that one little bulb, you had to figure out each one, and it was always, like, the last one that you tested, no matter what direction you tried. And I can just picture my dad cursing and all tangled up in the lights, trying to figure out which one was the bad one and hurting his thumb. So that little thumb impaled and the frustration of one bulb causing all of that. That was a very nostalgic stanza for me that I thought was really well done.
Thank you.
Totally on board with that comment, Faye. No, I was the same vein. I remember growing up, you had to check each one when the whole light strand wouldn't light up. And we're talking about maybe a $5 investment, but this was that $5 that really meant something. No, I love that part of this poem. And what you said early on, Sandy, was I'm really hung up on Frost because I think Frost is a masterful poet. I don't spend a lot of time with his stuff anymore, but the format of this one was most reminiscent of everything he presented tonight of what Frost put together. The rhyme, the repetition that you did, I like the slight deviation that you did at each fourth line of each stanza on that repetition. And then I like the fact that the final stanza went to the five lines. It was a little bit of your own little touch of a classic style or a classic format that worked oh so well on this poem. Yeah, no, and again, I want to compliment my predecessors on everything you said on this one. So there you are, Sandy. You're sitting there in a jazz club, and you have the opportunity to pick any famous person. It doesn't have to be a poet. Just someone that you admire to stand up in front of the stage in a smoke-filled room and present one of your poems, who would you pick, and why would you pick that person to read your poems, and what would that mean to you?
Wow, that's an interesting question.
Yes.
I will give a nod to William Shakespeare because of his facility with language, and I would love to hear his spoken word. So I'm going to go with Bill.
I think you're cheating because, yes, that's a great answer. I think anyone would love to be honored to have sit in a room with William Shakespeare and hear them read one of their poems. Great answer, my friend. I just, a great answer. Go ahead, Gray. What do you have to say about this poem?
Well, I really enjoyed the rhyme and the flow to the poem. You know, the imagery was spot on, and it was a very nostalgic piece. I mean, I agree with the thumbs being pricked by checking each ball, and, you know, and I really liked your first stanza, windy days and frosty nights, fir trees trimmed with festive lights, paint-colored quilts upon the snow, signs of Christmas long ago. You know, you really capture that essence of a Christmas tree on the front yard with the lights on it and, you know, turning it into a colored quilt. So just a beautiful imagery-filled poem. Excellent read as well.
Thank you.
Well, Sandy, it's been a joy to spend this first hour with you. I really appreciate your time. You're a wonderful poet. We didn't get to your whole set list, although we hardly get to any full set lists during the show. So I encourage everyone to check out Sandy G's set list that he provided for tonight's show. And then even go beyond to his page. And then he also has a published work on his site that you can check out. Sandy, it was a pleasure, man. I hope you hang out with us for the second hour. But thank you for your contributions and the conversation.
Well, thank you. It's been a wonderful experience. And I'm very grateful for everyone for their comments and for the opportunity to hear my great stuff. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
You deserve them.
All righty, Barda. It is your hour. Thank you. I know it is late where you are. I know that you have a lot going on in your world these days, so I very much appreciate you showing up. I appreciate you being patient. And whenever you are ready, I have your first poem, Birthstone Ring, on the board for you to recite for us.
Okay. Yes. The service is tomorrow morning. I just arrived in Connecticut. Sorry, can you bear with me?
Absolutely, Barta. This is your hour. We will move at your pace. It's not a big deal. Whatever you want to talk about, we're here with you.
Why did I have to call it up?
It's no problem. We also put them on the Late Night Poets board. So if you are on the Late Night Poets chat board, you can always just click on the link there. There you go. Plus, you can hear all the fun banter that we're having on the side conversations if you have that up.
Yes, it's very enjoyable.
And what's even better is if we have this chance to pause, we always get Pam to sing a little number for us. Pam, can you give us a little Christmas song, please?
You keep hoping. One of these days I will actually sing and you'll regret it.
Oh, I wouldn't dare. I wouldn't dare regret it. It's my New Year's resolution is to get you to sing, I think is what I'll do. My New Year's aspiration. I know if I get enough eggnog in you, I could be able to get there. How are you looking, Barta?
Okay.
Birthstone Ring? You ready?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Let's do it.
Occurring in my 16th year, momentous events did occur. These instances of which I often demur. My father did tragically succumb, the details of which I'll reveal some. I'd rather survive being somewhat numb. Admittedly, occurrence did relieve, did revive from him a sense to achieve, would not desire to appear to deceive. My brother then remained the only male in our immediate family. Remaining were four females. A campaign ensued through telephone and airmail. Being informed from Vietnam, my brother could then come. We eagerly awaited his welcome. Travel he did from San Diego. Hardy, sadly, missing his majority birthday party. It took days, and we lamented. He was tardy. Days of rest and seeing friends, then stunned by reminders of life, ends the driver we felt could never make amends. Months passed. I reached 16 and endeavored to assist our healing. Once instance, I labored in raking fallen leaves, feeling that I had delivered. My mom was earnestly working while never removing cherished rings, representing forever a love for family. Father disposed stone for her, bemoaning later than never, ring did fall from fingers, slimmed. Viewing from window the leaf pile, I prayed and treasure gleamed. Unbelievable it may seem, yet walked down and retrieved ring for which we dreamed.
Great read, Barta. Great read. Sandy, are you still with us? Would you like to start off comments?
Yes, I am. I thought it was a very poignant piece and reflected on the family struggling through the vicissitudes of life and the growth that one goes through as a young lady in facing the realities of our lives. Very well done.
Thank you. It's been so long since I read that.
Oh, great compliments, Andy. I appreciate that. Go ahead, Afaziana. What do you have to offer?
I think this is a really nice picture into family and how, you know, the loss of one family member also connects you to other family and how it has kind of a ripple effect, you know, your brother coming back and how everyone had to adjust their lives. So one person being lost influences the whole family and how that changes the dynamic of everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's so true. And I know that you've recently suffered a loss, and I hate to reveal anything that you don't want to share, Barta, but this is a very timely poem, in my opinion, from only knowing you for a short period of time, and I appreciate the fact that you included this. There's a way to be autobiographical that's inclusive. And I think that's what's magical about this poem, is that you really kind of, you give us the grit, but in the grit, there's the love, because you can't have one without the other. And so I was really taken in by the fact that this one feels so revealing, so honest, so all about you, especially during a holiday time. So I appreciate the poem for that, for those reasons. And can you go ahead and tell us why? I mean, you have your whole body of work. I know you have a large body of work here in AP. And so what does this poem mean to you, and why did you want to start off with this one tonight?
I wanted to include the poignancy. Really, is essential in understanding the depth. I don't know if I wanted to include it as the first one. That's the way this weekend is. This is not a weekend yet, but I mean, it feels like it. I just came to my hometown today. It's been three years since I've seen my mother. And we've talked every day since the pandemic, more than once a day, but Christmas 19 was when I last saw her.
Yeah, and that's, I know that's very emotional for you. So, yeah, I think even if it wasn't meant to be the first that you shared, I appreciate everything that you're sharing with us tonight. And even being here is a testament to your mom and to you.
Yes,
so
that's the last significant conversation we had was about your reaching out to feature my poems.
Well, believe me, in one form or another, I'm sure she's with you tonight. So it's very sweet that you're here, and thank you for being so bold to share this poem with us. Go ahead, Gray. Jump in the conversation.
I loved it. It was beautiful and tragic at the same time. You know, you really had amazing imagery in it. And I like the, you know, the familial connection to it all, you know, to the ring. And then losing the ring temporarily, only to find it and retrieve it for your mother. So just a beautiful poem.
Thank you.
Totally agree. Great compliment, Greg. I love that. Go ahead, Pam. What do you have to offer?
Yeah, well, first of all, I would like to offer my sympathy and my prayers and, you know, for you and your family. I know losses, especially during the holidays, are particularly difficult, you know, and you will be in my thoughts during this weekend. I would like to mention before commenting on the poem, I know, Barta, you and I don't communicate a lot, but you've always stuck in my memory because, you know, when I first came on All Poetry, you were one of the first people to be really nice to me. And I
Wow.
was really impressed with your poetry. You chose not to be like everyone else because you do have a distinct style in the way you phrase your poems. And I remember asking you a question about that. And, you know, you just kind of gave me this advice along the idea of, you know, just be true to yourself. And I know it's been a long time since you and I've done any sort of communicating on All Poetry, but I want you to know that that has really stuck in my head throughout the last 6 years and really means a lot to me. You know, I think this was a perfect poem for you to bring here because it lets us know what about you, about your history, and it also shows us how important family is to you. You know, it's beautifully written. It is powerful. It is emotive, and a really impressive write. And I would like to know, Barta, what is it that? How did you get started in writing poetry?
When I was in college, I recall this conviction that I wanted to impart what I had to say in a book. I didn't know what I was going to write, but I've written a book of poems with all my poetry. I had something to say I knew in college. And
Very cool.
Published.
Very cool.
And I really appreciate your comment. It was very touching. I recall lots of people that have made an impression on me, and we don't see each other from year. I mean, I feel like this is a community. It's almost like seeing people when we chat.
Oh, absolutely.
In the community. Yes.
No, that's totally true. I mean, this is a community, and I love that interaction, Pam. I love that comment. Barda, I love that you touched Pam, and I love that we can all have this common love for an art form in poetry, and it goes deeper into our lives in a lot of ways. So I think it's cool that, Pam, you had that opportunity to say that to Barda, and I'm privileged to hear all of that, especially, Barda, since you are the only person that has ever been nice to Pam in the history of her inclusion here on All Poetry. All the rest of us pick on her the rest of the time.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding, obviously. Very sweet comment, guys, and thanks for letting us all be part of that. Alrighty, Barda, I got your next one on here. Dear Santa is the name of the poem, so if you can pull that one up, go to the boards. It's a brevity whenever you're ready.
Virginia's red mailbox envisioned, I'm here to relay loving letters written, will yield to festive spirits for days. No, I had my shot, my booster, and then I got the flu. And that's all I have to call it up. That's all I remember.
You damn near nailed it. You damn near nailed it on memory alone, and that's really sweet. And the fact that you even sung it, I mean, that makes it I've said it 1,000 times, and I'm sorry to bore the audience, because brevities are so important to me because each and every move is so much more punctuated. And the fact that you just were able to bring that up off of memory and you even sang it to us is really cool. And the message on this one, on this brevity, is very sweet because it's all about giving. And that's really the spirit of the season. I don't have to say that. So can you tell us?
I'll read the rest.
Can you tell us? Go ahead.
My name is Barb Clark, striving to make things better. Volunteer at Mission Park. I composed a letter. Dear Santa, thank you for reminding us children, young and old, giving's valued more than receiving. Although oft but never enough, we've been told, holiday spirit means believing.
Very sweet. I like that addition to the poem. So tell us about this holiday season and why that's such an important message for you to convey, and where this poem stemmed from, please.
It stemmed from writing this for children to inspire $100 donation for the Believe letters, stemming from Virginia's letter. There's a campaign for the Make-A-Wish. Then I worked with children, and I like to write letters with them that would help people. So I thought it would be nice for them to generate a dollar by writing a letter, simply by depositing it in the red mailbox at the store.
Very cool. And then what was it to benefit again? This was a fundraiser, and what was it to benefit?
Make a wish.
They have
a campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
For
very cool.
For children.
Yeah. No, that adds an added spin to the sincerity of this poem. I like that a lot. Very cool. Go ahead, Gray. What do you have to contribute?
Hey, Doug, you did a wonderful job singing the beginning there. And, the poem is beautifully written, you know, from the eyes of a child. and writing letters to Santa, you know, it shall yield festive spirits for days, reminding us giving's valued more than receiving. Beautiful, right? And read.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Agreed, agreed, Gray. Great comment. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, that was wonderful singing at the beginning and such an unexpected treat. You know, I really like that there's a depth to this rite. It not only captures the Christmas spirit of you know, love and giving, but it's, as you said, it's for an important organization, important event, and the idea, you know, I like that you wrote this for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, and that it's a rite that people of all ages can relate to. So beautifully written and very well done. And I would like to know, Barda, who are some of class? Do you have any classic poets or authors that are an inspiration to you?
I'm inspired by the quirkiness of E.E. Cummings, and Robert Frost is a very beautiful writer, a poet, and I agree.
Go ahead, Barda.
No. I appreciate you just bearing with me. I enjoy all the comments and the insight you're giving me, all of you. So it's fine with me if you want to say something. I'd like to hear.
I apologize if I step on toes, but sometimes it's hard to tell on radio, you know, for me anyways. And sometimes I speak too quickly or I get excited about saying something. But I really love that you used quirkiness to describe E.E. Cummings and how that is one of the things that you really like about his style and his poetry. I thought that was particularly cool.
Yeah, hep to that. No, we're trying to keep the show moving, Barda, and I apologize too. I always step on toes. And yeah, E.E. Cummings is the reason I write poetry. So you get a big thumbs up from me for even mentioning his name. He's my guy. And like we talked with Sandy's Hour, Robert Frost is one of the first poets that I was ever introduced, whether I liked it or not. So the fact that you mentioned both of those two famed poets touches my heart. And this is your hour, Barda. I mean, this is our chance to celebrate you. So we can spend it however you want. We can talk about whatever poetry you want. You can kind of lead the discussion to your druthers. So we're here to celebrate your work. And that's what it's all about, learn more about you. Because, again, the point of this show is for all of us to learn more, a little bit about each other on a different level, have a conversation, and really dive into poetry. So, again, I know it's you're going through it, sister. We're there with you. And whatever you can give us, we will soak it up. Your next poem, and you don't have to sing it. We might make Gray sing it, but you don't have to sing it. Your next poem, Lesson Learned, is on the boards and ready for your recitation when you're ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have to bear with me?
It's okay. It's up there on the board if you can pull it up quickly.
Yeah. Next time I'm... Ooh. Oh, there it is. Okay. Lessons learned. At our reproofs, we glean knowledge from varied modes, writing to noted recipients, working firefighters, sparked one young lady to propose, those sermons warranted our thanks. Post-Santa letter session, one young man eagerly proclaimed, men and women who give protection for Valentine's send missives of acclaim. Months later, students were awarded a letter, having written the troops of their thankfulness. Observed comportment steadily got better with bonus acts of gratefulness, thankfulness, gratefulness.
Great read, Barta. Go ahead, Greg. Can you start us off, please?
You know, I like this tradition of sending letters of, you know, thanks to these first responders and at Valentine's, you know. I thought it was just a beautiful sentiment there on the play of sending letters to Santa Claus. I mean, you know, these are definitely true legends and heroes to so many that they interact with in their daily life. So a beautiful, thought-provoking, and inspirational poem. Well read.
Thank you.
Wonderful compliment, Guy. Go ahead, Pam.
Yeah, this is a wonderful write on the thought of encouraging children to write to first responders and, you know, give them the opportunity to show them how much their service is appreciated. I really like this all the way through, but especially Working Firefighter sparked one young lady to propose those servants warrant our thanks. Months later, students were awarded letter having written troops of thankfulness. You know, I like that there's such an appreciation for those who put their lives on the line and, you know, take time to help others. It reminds us of how important, all your poems really have reminded us of how important it is that those little things during the holidays, like, you know, offering up a smile or offering up a Christmas card, or just even, you know, a kind word, you know, so just beautifully written and very well done. And so I noticed that from what I've seen of your poetry, a lot of your personal life inspires it. But what else offers you inspiration for writing poetry?
Well, entering contests, I love colors. They spark my creativity, and bringing senses into the poetry, that was something else that I really appreciate. When I see a prompt on a contest, I try to write for one almost daily. By something which sparks the creativity, and lately it's been a lot of AAAs, abstract alliterative acrostics.
Very
fair
cool.
Enough.
I like that.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough for the inspiration. Sandy, can you jump into the conversation, please?
Yeah, I would like to. First of all, this last poem is really relevant for me. I had a career in law enforcement that lasted 30 years. And I want you to know that messages from the young people sustain the police officers, who are generally very worldly people because of what they see, what they experience, and sometimes are immured from sentimentality. But when it comes from the young, and the words that you use, giving and kindness, those kind of things go to the heart. very effective. Beautiful write. Thank you very much.
Okay. Maybe this could go a little smoother. I see a poem that's got a lot of comments, and I enjoyed writing it, and it would lighten the mood, I think.
You're doing great. You can put up whatever poem you want next. Let me throw a couple comments at you. No, I think what you offer and what I'm seeing from you, Barta, is you have a lot of heart. I mean, you are what we've had in this short period of time is you have given. You have the spirit of giving as an underlying theme in all you want to do. And I want to know, my question to you is poetry that vehicle for you in which you want to, again, give some more? I mean, is this really, I don't know how to say this politely, is this really you? Are you this much of an altruistic person that, because I'm impressed. And there's a lot, I mean, I just heard it in what Sandy said in his comment. You give so much. And is that what poetry means to you?
Yes, I always had something I wanted to impart. I envisioned myself writing a book. I'm finding ways to share that in my later life, especially.
And I think you have an audience, and I think you have a way of doing that here. And that's my next part. We're about halfway through. So you get to go ahead and shamelessly plug. Are you only available here on AP? Have you published any books? Do you have any other sites or any other ways of getting in touch with your work?
I've been published in anthologies. In my community, I perform my songs.
So, like on local stage, you perform your songs or something like that?
Yes, we had the Block Festival, a multicultural festival, and on a yearly basis, I perform at least.
Very cool, very cool. Well, I would encourage you. I love the fact that you're so lyrical and so musical with your work. If you ever want to put it in print, if you ever want to put it on or self-publish, I would strongly, strongly, strongly encourage that. There's a number of people here that have done it, a number of people that can help you. I know that Phil My Eyes, who runs LNP, she's a master at helping people get them through the process of making their work in the printable form to be able to sell it on Amazon. I've done it myself, and it's very gratifying. So if you haven't done it yet, I strongly encourage it because it's very cool. But the fact that you're up there at a music festival singing your songs. I know that I will be bringing my tambourine. I'm going to get on an airplane. I'm going to grab Pam Ray. I might even swing by and pick up Gray. And we're going to come and we're going to hear you sing at the next festival. It's very cool.
Well,
there you go. Sounds fun to me.
Go ahead, Barta. If you could tell me the title of the next poem you want me to put up on the board, I can go ahead and do that.
Can I do Query for All Poetry Community?
Yeah, I got that one right here. That's one that you had bookmarked.
Oh, I did? Okay. Yeah, I did. Okay.
Yeah, no problem. I can put it on the board right now. Go ahead. We're ready whenever you are.
Would someone kindly clarify, please, though I am not quite on my knees, I was up to the challenge and just might still be. Is there a call for verses and prose times 30? For the month of April, is there a call to submit daily as a goal to one and all, and therefore yield a subscription? I'd be thankful to know, is that fact or fiction?
Great read. Go ahead, Pam, start us off.
I like this. You know what? I like poems that have that are questions, because it makes the reader think along with you. You know, I also like that you make this into a query, because oftentimes, and, you know, there are many great things about all poetry, but when it comes to a big site, and especially when you're new to a site, you know, there's a lot of ins and outs to learn. And sometimes you just want to know and you just want an answer. You know, I really thought this was just excellent to write and very well done. And I'm going to go ahead, Barta, and I will ask you the casserole dish question. And the casserole
here
dish
it comes,
question.
Here it
comes. Yep, you knew it had to eventually come. The casserole dish question is this. I am going to hand you a 9x13 casserole dish, and you can put in there any ingredients that make up Barta Gales. And it does not have to be just food. So what are you going to put in there?
Color, music. Children, babies, nature. Dancing.
Those are all wonderful, wonderful things. Very cool.
Great answer, Barta. And I love that people, I love when people aren't ready for the question, Pam, because when it becomes all the more honest when they're not ready for the casserole dish question. Great answer, Barta. I love that.
Yeah, I was apprehensive.
No, we're poets here. We're all poets. We know what you mean. Go ahead, Sandy. What do you have to offer?
Well, there's a magic connection between all these aspects that she just explained and her writing, because her writing is an amalgamation of all these aspects. And it comes across clear about her honesty, her kindness, and it's appreciated by the reader. That magic connection is what makes her poetry different, and I really appreciate it. And I also like her singing.
Oh, well, thank you. I thought about singing. No, maybe next time. But
all right, Sandy.
But I had to say something that was dead air. So that's the first thing that came up.
I love it. No, Sandy, when I do the whirlwind tour and I'm doing the private jet, I'm going to pick you up too, buddy, to go listen to Barta sing at the festival, okay?
That's great. I'll be ready.
No, this is beautiful. And I love that comment, too. I mean, I love the fact, again, Barta, that your giving and your kindness shines through in your words. Because I don't know how to say this backhanded. There is a way to do it when it's sincere. And for you, your words come through as very sincere. And the kindness and the heart that you have and the willingness, I mean, very similar to what we talked about earlier with Sandy's poetry and what Pam said with her first share to you on what you meant to her. There's a way of putting together words that touches people. And poetry has the ability, it's an art form, that it can hit people when they need it most. So I think a lot of times it's very cathartic, not only for the writer, but also the reader. So the fact that you have so much caring in your words, I think it's going to carry a lot more weight. People are going to look to your words in a time of need, and it's gonna be very cathartic for them as well. And I think when someone is most vulnerable and they need something to turn to, and the fact that you are providing an art form in which someone can feel that kinsmanship is extremely important. I mean, when we're most vulnerable and we need someone to lean upon or we need some words to look to, it's spiritual. I mean, it's helpful and it's. And I think your words carry a lot of part in that, in for those reasons. So I want to commend you on that.
That's very touching.
Go ahead and talk to us a little bit about what there's. I talk forever about it, but go ahead and talk about what.
Yeah, well,
what
you talk very well.
Go ahead and talk about what music means to you in life and how that transforms or how that transcribes into your poetry.
I missed the words. What means to my life?
Yeah, I mean, how is music, or talk about your musical influences,
music.
I mean, talk about singing. Yeah, how does that influence your poetry?
I wrote my first song when I was taking guitar lessons, and I was writing poetry at the time. I used to sing the notes. That seemed to facilitate the playing. And let's put it together that I could write a melody and verses to the melody marry those two, the verses with the melody.
I like that. I like that very poetic answer, Barta. Very cool. Go ahead, Gray. What do you have to say?
I really liked your forming of a question, you know, into a poem. You did a beautiful job of that. And your read was fantastic as well. So excellent. Excellent, right? Excellent read.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah.
Great compliment, Gray. All right, Barta, where are you going to send us next? I am on your profile. If you have another poem, we're ready and I can pull it up.
I didn't want to go... I do want to include the I don't know what I'm going to do without you poem, but I
okay.
didn't want to go to that yet.
You don't want to do that one? Okay.
I wanted to put lighthearted and colorful. I'd like to go. What was that? Yeah, another lighthearted.
Avian looks like it's pretty lighthearted.
Yes, it is.
Avian Aloft?
It just
mm-hmm.
says Avian, A-V-I-A-N, but I think. Oh, there is also one that says Avian Aloft. Okay, good.
Do you want Avian? Do you want Avian, Barta?
Yeah, I have to call it up. I didn't think I did. I was scrolling.
I mean, obviously, it's your choice, Barta. I just tend to be the type of person that makes suggestions. So, totally your choice.
Yeah.
Don't listen to anything that Pam said.
This is truly an AAA.
Right, she's bossy.
I have Avian on the boards when you're ready.
Okay. Adoring alms to lean of land, lightning, etch eiderdown edges, horizon umbrellas, joyous joining, alleviating angst, aggressive hail, spells out hallelujah.
Wow. Great read. Go ahead, Sandy. You want to start us off?
I lost sound for a few minutes, so I'll have to come back. I'm trying to find it in so I can read it. I didn't hear her rendition.
All right,
she
no
put
problem.
A link
we'll come back.
The link
I finally got the link up. I apologize, Sandy. Go ahead, Gray. You want to start us off?
Sure. You know, alliteration is one of my favorite things to do, and you did it quite brilliantly here with your rhyme and flow. I really liked it a lot. It really does capture the essence of being resplendent, and birds are beautiful. So excellent write and excellent read.
Thank you.
I like that. I like that the birds are resplendent gray. Of course you get the environmental take on it. I love that comment. Go ahead, Tam.
Yeah, this is wonderful imagery, great alliteration, a wonderful celebration of birds and their movement and their colors. I really like sapphire singing, pinks pop, lemony land of lightning. Just wonderful imagery. And I like the way that you make every word count. Now, I know earlier you were asked about music, and I would like to ask, and this is a question I like to oftentimes ask people who have an interest in music, is who are your, in your opinion, who's the top three best song lyricists?
Joan Collins. I just read the tapes of Bob Dylan. Kind of electric list that comes to mind at the spur of the moment. I've reflected on a number of lyricists that I really appreciate, that really inspire me, but those two come to my mind at this time.
Great choices. Yeah, Bob Dylan is definitely one of my favorites. He's actually the one that every time I ask that question, I hope that he secretly, that every person says him.
And boo on you for the loaded questions, family, because I totally, totally agree. I mean, I'm not even a Bob Dylan fan, but he is one of the greatest lyricists, in my humble opinion. I think he writes songs, and you don't even realize that he's written songs that aren't even by him. I mean, I think that's a great answer, too. But, yeah, I agree 100%, fam. Great question, great answer. Sandy, you with us now? Have you had a chance to read this poem?
I'm still trying to find it. I'm on her site right now trying to find the poem. And give me the name again.
It's Avian.
You have to refresh your page.
Yeah, if you go to the Late Night Poets chat board, Avian. That's okay. We can come back to you, buddy. It's not a big deal. Sometimes we miss them, and it's a thing. And I like this, Barta, because not only did you make it an acrostic, but you made it an alliterative acrostic, and so every line plays. And so that's an extra layer of the whole acrostic feel of it all. And I know that you said, when I asked you for a list of 10 to 12 poems, you said that you had a whole bunch of acrostics. And so it's not a format that I delve into a ton. I appreciate when someone does it correctly and has a vigor to it, because I think a lot of times you can mail in an acrostic, which I'm not insinuating at all on any of your lines here. But I think an acrostic that works with a flow, and again, I like the fact that you made an alliterative acrostic, because it's that extra effort to it to make it work so right and so true to the format. So can you tell me a little bit about what acrostics mean to you? Why have you chosen to write in that format so much?
It comes easily to me.
Fair enough. That's a fair answer. I like that.
Do you have another one? Do you have a chance to see this one, Sandy? You want to move on to the next one?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I just finished reading it. You know, I follow very easily the logic that she goes through from ringing Rosie Rhymes through turquoise to teal tinge. And I can follow that thought process, and it's very effective, and it's a beautiful write. I really enjoy this poem, and it does remind me a little of a villain.
Wow.
There you go, Barta. That's one of the highest compliments you can get. Being complimented for being kind to one of your great, great comments, Andy. Okay, go ahead, Barta. Do you have another one you want us to?
I have to include this. I wrote it the day before my sister informed me that my mother had passed. What am I going to do without you?
Okay.
After fulsome tunes etched, reverberating, sapphire singing skies, enthusiastic veracity, etched eiderdown, nudging notes, turquoise tomes, yearly yielding guests, prayers, lightning, lean, lemony umbrellaed sonnets, yearning for ease of affection, appeasing, ravaging rife, struck by stinging, fearing surcease. It says after, what am I going to do without you after 70 plus years?
Wow. Great poem. No, and that's very touching. I mean, again, it's another acrostic. Wow. And the fact that you put this together during a very emotional time in your life and you shared it with us tonight, it's touching to me. And again, you went with the alliteration with the acrostic, a rule that isn't, it's an unwritten rule. And yeah. And I want to give you the opportunity on if you want, on how much this poem means to you.
I'm thankful that I've been blessed to write it.
And again, I don't want to dive into anything, Barta, that's not comfortable. You know she's with us tonight, and I know
yeah.
This is a very trying time. I know this is a very trying time for you. We appreciate you for sharing a poem like this. It's got to be extremely difficult. And here on Late Night, we got nothing but love and support for you. So thank you for showing up. Thank you for sharing this kind of poem. And again, I know she's listening. Go ahead, Gray.
Yes, thank you.
Well, you did a beautiful read of that. I like the acrostic that's stitched in with all the alliteration quite beautifully. And, you know, I'm sorry about your loss of your mother.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Pammy.
Yeah, this is a beautiful, heartfelt write. It's a wonderful tribute to your mother and to everything that she meant to you. Wonderful imagery and alliteration. I feel, you know, so honored that you would share this, such a personal write with us, a personal and cathartic write. And this honestly is something that I can relate to. You know, it's been a few years, but my mom died actually on New Year's Eve day. So, and going on the fifth year anniversary of her death, she actually fell down the stairs, hit her head and went into a coma on the 23rd. Mm-hmm. Her birthday was the 26th. and we took her off of life support, and she died on the 31st. So, you know,
That's a lot to go through. Yeah, it was.
And I don't, you know, I always feel like, I hope that people don't misunderstand me. Like, I'm not wanting to take away from your pain and your moment, but I wanted to
let you know.
I can really relate to this.
I can tell. And it's not so long ago that that happened, that you had to go through that.
And, yeah, and it is a difficult thing to lose a mother. And, you know, no matter what, I mean, we really honestly want our mothers to live to be 120 or even older, you know, because the loss is so great. And that really comes through with this, especially in the lines, yearning for ease of affection, appeasing, just amazing lines. Beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you.
Great share, Pam. I love that. Go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I got preempted there by Pam on the last stanza. Everything leading up to that last stanza directs you through the gate, yearning for the ease of affection, appeasing ravaging rice. Struck by stinging, searing surcease. What a beautiful ending in the thought process of a child who loses a parent. It's a beautiful ride. I think this is your best piece tonight.
Thank you.
And I join everyone in offering my condolences for the loss of your mom.
Thank you very much. It is cathartic.
Yeah, you're getting nothing but hearts across the boards right now, Barta. So go ahead and give us some parting words of wisdom for this evening to close us out. Being a poet here on All Poetry, being such an altruistic, loving person to give so much of yourself, what can you give us as aspiring poets in terms of advice?
Well, you all have so much insight. It's a spectrum of insight I've benefited from. I'm so grateful that I had this opportunity. I'm so grateful for all of you. Yeah. I don't think you need advice. Any of you need advice. You're all superlative.
Well, you're definitely a trooper. I know that both you and Sandy joined us on a very late night for you both, especially during the holiday season. We appreciate you guys. We love you both. You guys are incredibly talented poets. Gray, thanks for joining in. Faizy, wherever you are, thanks for calling in. Pammy, can you give us some parting words before this holiday hits us?
Absolutely. A great show, Jeremy. Wonderful poetry and comments and conversation. Congratulations, Sandy and Barta. Thank you for letting us feature you and your poetry. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas to you and our listeners. We appreciate and love every one of you, and have a good night, everyone.